Why don't we give that hand clap to Jesus right now? Come on, all across the house, why don't you lift up your voice? Why don't you magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Come on, from the front to the back right now, lift up your voice. Magnify Him. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight? There's nothing like being in God's presence. I don't want to be any other place than be in the presence of the Almighty God. Are you thankful for what you feel right now? Hallelujah. Amen. There is victory in the house tonight. Amen. I count it an honor to be able to stand behind this sacred desk tonight. Amen. I give honor, amen, to Bishop Sutton, Pastor Collins, and the whole fam, bam, the whole fam. Amen. And also, I want to give honor to all the great men of God in this church. Amen. Preachers, ministers, teachers, Bible study teachers, all the above. Amen. Some of my dearest friends are in this church. Amen. And I love them greatly. Amen. Not only just love them, but have high honor and respect. Amen. I want you to know all across this movement, this church has great respect. You know that? Amen. It's an honor to be here with you today. Amen. I am saddened that my wife is not here with me today. Amen. But I know that she is watching online. Did anybody come on a Wednesday night expecting something from God? Hallelujah. There's such a sweet presence of God. Amen. I'm just going to make myself comfortable, and I hope you allow me just to obey the Holy Ghost tonight, and let's just get connected for just a little while. Amen. Let's get connected in the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Amen. Once again, it is a distinct honor to be here and to be behind this pulpit. I'm just expecting great things tonight. I'm expecting great things tonight. Amen. As I begin to pray and meditate about this service and seek after the face of God, God begin to confirm things in my spirit. Amen. I come behind this pulpit today with a burdened heart tonight. Amen. And I pray that I can communicate what I feel in my spirit tonight. Amen. We'll be able to latch on and grab a hold of it. Amen. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him." Somebody say that with me. "For I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Man, I want to go down to verse 22. Man, and it says, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord." I want you to say that with me. "But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." Amen. For the next little while, I want to preach to you tonight from the thought, the way of an intercessor. The way of an intercessor. Amen. If you have your Bible, smartphone, devices, whatever it may be, can you put it down? Can you lift up your voice? I want every Holy Ghost filled believer right now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost for about 30 seconds right now. Come on, all across this house, I want you to lift up your voice. I don't want you to casually pray right now. Amen, but I want you to speak in tongues. I want you to pray, as Jude said, your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, from the front to the back. Amen, side to side. Come on, lift up your voice and pray until you feel that victory in your spirit right now. Come on, pray until you feel that victory in your spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The way of an intercessor. The day and age that we're living in, we are in need of more of the things of God, not less of the things of God. Amen. We need more church, not less church. We need more of the things of the Spirit. We need more engagement of getting connected with the heavenlies. Amen. We don't need more political talk. We probably need a lot less of political talk. And I guess you could say some kingdom talk. Amen. We need more of engagement in the Spirit. Grabbing a hold of the things of God, knowing that God operates in an unknown realm that's not, amen, limited to the box of our finite mind and how that we operate. But God operates in a bigger scope and a magnitude that cannot be confined by the limitations of the flesh. Amen. I love a good book, but we don't need more philosophy today. We don't even need more psychology today, but we need more of a demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I don't want to base everything that I do in living for God off of opinion and off of how I feel. But amen, I want to get in the Word of God and whatever the Word says. Amen. I want to align myself with the Word of God, with the truth of God's Word. Amen. There are things that God has given His people. He's given His church. He's given us, amen, things that cannot be replaced. He's given us things that He has placed in our hands. I would call them some arts that simply cannot be replaced in the day and age that we're living in. No matter how time progresses, no matter how much we go forward in life, no matter how much more educated we become, there's some things that can never be replaced. There's nothing that can replace the engagement of God's people in the presence of God. There's nothing like when a child of God begins to get a hold of God in the presence of God and begin to pull down strongholds and begin to get into the presence of an almighty God. There's scriptures that are in the Bible that they just ring and begin to echo in my spirit when I begin to read them, because I see a connection with the frailty of humanity, and I see the connection with the divine God who knows no evil, amen, and that cannot be corrupted. When man begins to engage and begins to connect and begins to get in the flow and the Spirit of God, I cannot help but see and begin to take a picture. One of those places, amen, are Genesis 18, amen, and verse 17. Amen, as Abraham is in a place and he is a child of God, walking in the promises of God, walking, amen, in the favor of God. When God begins to try to do something, there is something that begins to happen. There is a conversation that takes place. What a walk with God that Abraham has, that God would stop in the midst of what he's doing and begin to say, shall I tell Abraham what I'm going to do? Should I stop for just a moment, mere finite humanity? Would I stop just for a moment and begin to communicate to my servant, amen, what I'm getting ready to do? Because Abraham walked with God in such a way that God could say when he looked at Abraham, I'm willing to stop what I'm doing in this moment in time and begin to engage with my son and my daughter, amen, to let them know what I'm getting ready to do. Why? Because the Bible says that he knew him. It wasn't just a casual acquaintance. It wasn't just a casual engagement that Abraham had with God. But there were some places, amen, that Abraham had been, that Abraham learned how to build an altar before God. And Abraham learned how to gather some wood. And Abraham learned how to pay the price. And Abraham knew how to get a hold of God. And he knew how to humble himself before the Lord. And he knew how to get in that secret place. And so when God looked at Abraham, he said, I know him. Not a casual know, but it was an intimate connection. Amen. A divine connection. Amen. That the humanity and the divine begin to get connected. Amen. I firmly believe in this hour that we're living in. Amen. We cannot afford, amen, to not be connected to the vein of the Holy Ghost. We cannot afford, amen, not to be connected to the divine heavenly. Amen. Where God works and where God operates. Amen. I don't want to come to the house of God. Amen. And just become a zombie. Amen. In the presence of God and not know what it's like. Amen. To get in the spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. I want to be able to get a hold of the presence of God. Hallelujah. We got to be able to get a hold of God. We have to be able to get into a place, amen, that our devotion and worship with God is not shallow, but that we get to a place, amen, that we step into the depths of the waters of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name tonight, amen, I commend you. If you've been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, amen, I commend you. Amen. It's just the beginning, amen, of what God wants to do in your life. Amen. Because that Holy Ghost that's living inside of you, amen, it's not dead, but it's alive. And that very Spirit that's living inside of you, it is the very thing that is life, and it's life everlasting. Amen. When you got the Holy Ghost, amen, God didn't intend for you, amen, just to be a casual Christian that knew just a little bit of the presence of God. But when God filled you with his Spirit, amen, he was saying, I want you to know all of my power. I want you to know all of my might. I want you to know all of my anointing. Amen. On a Wednesday night, New Life. Can I preach to you that no matter how we walk with God, there is more in the kingdom of God. And no matter what our experience is, and no matter what we know of God, there is something that we have to awaken in our spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want to just simply look apostolic alone, but I want to have that apostolic power living inside of me. I don't want to just be, well, I come and feel a religious obligation, amen, and I come to the house of God because there's Sunday church and there's Wednesday Bible study. But no, there has to be something, amen, that beats in the heart of every one of us. That Monday morning when we begin to wake up, there is something that quickens us and makes us alive because we know I'm having an opportunity and moment to get in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We're living in the hour and time when it is so easy to begin to replace things of God. So easy to begin to replace the flowing of the Spirit because now we're a little bit more talented. We're a little bit more gifted. We have a little bit more education, and so it's a little bit more easier for me just to begin to lean on my flesh and lean on a personality or just lean on a fleshly thing. But sometimes it takes just a little bit of work, amen, of getting in the Spirit. Amen. I want to propose to you tonight, amen, that God wants his people to be a Spirit-led people. God wants his people be able to get along with him and begin to get a hold of the things of God. Begin to wrestle things down. Begin to tear down strongholds. Begin to entertain and get in the presence of God and begin to dig deeper, amen, in places. When you begin to look at the patriarchs in Scripture and you begin to look at them and you begin to see, amen, all of their encounters, amen, and how they begin to encounter God intimately, how they begin to encounter God in such a way, amen, that was remarkable. It wasn't just the miracles and things that God began to do for the patriarchs, but it was the level of consecration and commitment that every patriarch begin to lay down. Amen. It was in Abraham. It was in Moses. Amen. It was in Isaac. It was in Jacob. It was in generation after generation. Amen. There was a commitment to the things of God. There was commitment to consecrating themselves to God. There was a commitment to building altars and paying the price and doing whatever it took to get the pleasure of the Lord. Whatever it would take to be able to grab a hold of the things of God. I would say in this hour that we're living in, we can either look at how dark it is and how much trouble is around us, or we can begin to realize the place that we have in the midst of it all. We can begin to either look and realize that we have a place in the midst of all of the chaos. We have a place in the midst of all of the turmoil and all of the trouble and all of the trials and all of the circumstances. And I want to let you know today that God has given his church the ability to be able to stand in the last day. God's given his church the ability while everybody else is fading away and while everybody else is falling and while everybody else is troubled in their mind. Hey man, I want to let you know that God's given a place, hey man, for his people to be able to go to, hey man, to get peace and safety. Hey man, while there's many people, hey man, restless tonight, hey man, with anxiety and fear, hey man, there's a place and there's a people that can come to the house of God and to magnify God and have peace in their spirit, have peace in their heart. Hallelujah. One of the greatest callings that you and I can ever have is the calling of being able to stand in the place of an intercessor. One of the greatest callings, one of the greatest ministries that we can ever have. So thankful for all of the things in the kingdom of God. But this one thing does not require you and I to be talented or gifted. This one thing does not require us to be the most eloquent in speech. It does not require us to be the most gifted singer. It does not require us, amen, to have the most knowledge. But to be an intercessor is one that simply decides in their mind and their heart that I'm going to get a hold of God. What a testimony it would be to say that God would say, shall I hide from New Life what I'm getting ready to do? For I know them. Better yet, what would it be like if God would come to your living room and say, hey, I'm getting ready to do some great and mighty things, and I just want to talk to you about what I'm getting ready to do, because I know you intimately and I want to continue to know you, and I want to walk with you in fellowship. Amen. What a testimony that would be for God to look down at us and want to begin to share his glory and to share his power and to share his anointing and begin to engage. I want you to pay attention to something tonight. Abraham began to do something, amen, that I don't think that we naturally do anymore. I think too many times in the kingdom of God, we begin to take and settle no for answers. We allow ourselves to just settle and accept no. While the reality is that sometimes God is putting us in a place, in a moment, to begin to draw things out of us and begin to pull things out of us. Amen. Abraham standing in this place. Amen. In the context of what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. God's getting ready to judge Sodom. He's getting ready to judge the world because of all of their wickedness. Amen. It would have been easy for Abraham to say, God, go ahead and just judge the people. God, go ahead and just burn up the city. Amen. Let's just go forward. Amen. But there was something in Abraham, because as he sought the face of God, he began to know the ways of God. He began to know what God loved and what God hated. And there was something in Abraham that had boldness and had a tenacity, amen, not to challenge God, but to begin to bargain with God. Hallelujah. We can't lose, amen, the authority and the power to bargain with God. We can't lose the ability to get on our knees and be able to get a hold of God in a prayer closet. Amen. And begin to fleece the Lord and begin to get a hold of Him and begin to bargain with God. Abraham began to reason with God. He began to say, well, God, will you spare the city, God, if there's just 50 righteous? And God, will you spare the city if there's just this amount? And Abraham begins to go line by line, begins to go down, because he's in a wrestling match with God, because he understands the world that he's living in and he understands the condition of the people. Amen. But there's something in Abraham, amen, that he's got the heart of God. Amen. So Abraham realizes, amen, I got to get in this place of bargaining with the Lord. I got to get in this place with a wrestling match with God. Amen. That says, God, I know how bad the world is. And God, I know how bad the city is. But God, would you simply spare the city? God, would you simply just save a few? We may not be able to get everybody, but God, can we just get the few? God, we may not be able to get the 50, but God, can we just get the 20? God, can we just get the 10? God, can we just get the few? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I want to stir somebody up in the Holy Ghost tonight. There is a tenacity and a passion, amen, for the things of God that needs to awaken in the apostolic church. Amen, that we quicken ourselves, amen, to divine, amen, wrestling in the Holy Ghost. Divine faith that believes if God did it before, God will do it again. And if God saved my family, He'll save your family. And if God healed my body, then I wonder if it's anybody believes that tonight in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's all right if I just take my time and preach tonight. Hallelujah. It's the bargaining with God. It's not bargaining with God about the things that we simply want for ourselves. I'm telling you what, it's easy to get a hold of God when we have every need and problem before us. Amen, that's all about us. Amen, but there's something about, amen, that when we get into that place, amen, of intercessory prayer, and even though the circumstances around us, it looks so dark and bleak, and it seems like nothing's going to change. Baby, do you understand why we're here today? Amen, because we're standing, amen, on the shoulders of people, amen, that knew how to get in the Holy Ghost and knew how to get a hold of God. And so we stand in a nice building today, being able to worship God and to shout. But the reality is, even as I stand behind this pulpit, I'm standing on shoulders of men that paid the price and refused to say no, and refused to look at their city and say we can't have revival. But they got to a place in a prayer room that said, if God said it, then baby, we can do it. And if God gave the vision, then we... Come on, New Life, I need your help tonight. I wonder if there's some people in the house of God that says what God's doing in this church, it's just the beginning. We've seen some great victories. We've seen some great things. But baby, God's not done yet. Oh. God's not done yet. God's just getting started. I'm telling you, you know what? I never want to get to a place, hey man, that I get too
too dignified and too saved. Amen. That God cannot wreck me over. Amen. The coals and put me in a place. Amen. Where I humble myself before Him in my prayer closet. Amen. You want to know the very thing that sustains, amen, ongoing revival. Amen. Is when the people of God, amen, all by themselves, not being pushed. Amen. Not just having to be pushed along. Amen. Learn how to get a hold of God. It says, I refuse to take no for an answer. I know what it looks like right now. Amen. But somewhere on a Sunday night and somewhere on a Wednesday, I was praying and I got in the Holy Ghost and the Lord said it could be so. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. The Lord said it was able. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need the tenacity and a revival of passion and a burden for the things of God. That we get a hold of God. We say, God, we're not going to stop until we see it. God, we're not going to stop praying and fasting until, God, this begins to shift and change. Amen. Some of you, you got things going on in your life. Amen. And you're getting ready to just throw in the towel and say, well, God's not going to answer me and God's not going to do it. Amen. I've come to let you know on a Wednesday night. Amen. You don't need to throw in the towel. Your answer is not a counseling session. Your answer is not therapy. Your answer is not talking to your friends. Your answer is you getting in the Holy Ghost one more time and just waiting and seeing what the Lord will do. Your greatest answer, amen, it's not in everybody else, but it's in the Lord. Hallelujah. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. The bargaining, the questioning. God, I refuse to take no. God, will you? There's surely, God, you're too good to destroy the righteous. Amen, with the wicked, God. I'm telling you, sometimes God will put us in circumstances and in situations waiting to see simply what we will do. Amen, I'm telling you, there needs to be a revival of a fight inside the church. Amen, not a fight against my brother or my sister. Amen, but a fight that begins to wage war in the Holy Ghost. I firmly believe, I feel like we've become so passive, amen, that anything that the enemy throws at us, we just sit back and say, well, I guess. Get satisfied and content and just accept it. Well, I guess this is the will of God. Instead of saying, I'm fighting back. I'm not laying down and just going to allow the adversary to stomp on over me. But I'm fighting back for the things of God. I'm fighting back for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's not a physical violence, but the kingdom of heaven have suffered violence since the days of John the Baptist. Amen. Spiritual resistance, but those that get into the kingdom of God, amen, it's those that keep on pressing in. Amen. What we need in this hour more than ever before is people to rise up, amen, and press in the things of God. We need people to rise up and begin to press and say, God, I'm not stopping until this wall begins to fall. God, I'm not stopping, amen, until I see the prayer answer. God, I'm not going to stop praying until I see the wall fall. God, I'm not going to stop fasting until I see it. God, I'm not going to stop giving, amen, until I see it. Hallelujah. We have to stand in the place of the intercessor. We have to stand in the place being able to grab a hold of God. I want you to think about in Scripture, the Bible talks about in Exodus chapter 32, that Moses got to a place that he got a hold of God, that God said, let me alone. Let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee just alone of a great nation. And God's appealing to Moses' ego, and Moses is in a place, this is when the children of Israel are creating and fashioning idols, and they're beginning to worship idols, and God's wanting to judge the people. And then Moses stands in a place, that he grabs a hold of God and refuses to let go of God. He refuses to settle and take the answer that God is currently giving. He refuses to simply just sit there and take what the current climate, the current culture is presenting. And Moses says, no, God, I'm not letting go, because God, these are your people. The Bible said that Moses spoke to God as a man face to face. Moses began to get in the presence of God and knew how to talk to God in such an intimate way that it would be as you and I just communicating to each other. It would be as you and I just beginning to engage in conversation with such intimacy. Amen. I'm telling you, we need a revival. Amen. Of prayer and intercession. Amen. And getting in the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 59, the Lord looked and saw that there was no man. He wondered that there was no intercessor. The Bible says, therefore, his own arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness. When God saw that there was no intercessor, because the need for the intercessor is great. The need for those that stand in between the gap, begin to fight and rage war. And I'm not talking about, people get caught up in, and I believe in spiritual warfare, and I'm not trying to downplay that today. I'm not just talking about that, but understanding our place as the church. Understanding what God has called us to do. You got to understand that Abraham and Moses both, God's constantly having a theme throughout Scripture. Abraham and Moses both, they're standing between the gap because the people are worthy of judgment, and they're standing between God and the people. There's judgment on one side. There's the intercessor in the middle, and there's God on the other side. And as the intercessor stands in the place, and though the people are worthy of judgment, there has to be one that arises and says no. There has to be one that arises and says, oh God, can we just try one more time? God, can we just try one more Bible study? God, just give me one more chance. God, don't give up on the city yet. Don't give up on my family yet, God. God, can you just give me one more opportunity, God? I know, God, they've blasphemed God. They've done so much wicked, but God, can you just give them one more moment in time? God, I'm wrestling with you, God. I'm bargaining with you. Amen. You know the real reality of the intercessor is that the intercessor is not just taking on his spirit, but he begins to take on the spirit of Christ and begins to realize, hey man, it's not about me and it's not about how I feel, but I understand what God's trying to do in the people. I understand what God's trying to do in the church. And so I refuse to allow the culture of the day, the judgment of God, be able to get a hold of. It's easy to sit around and talk about how bad it is, but it's hard to get on the knees and start praying. It's easy to look at it and see the latest report and how wicked the world is, but it's hard to just get tucked away where nobody sees and nobody knows, and you just begin to be able to get to a place in the Holy Ghost, and you begin to pray, You begin to get a hold of the things of God, and you begin to stand as that intercessor, and you begin to bridge the gap. Because the reality of what God was trying to do in Abraham, amen, that God was trying to do something in Abraham before he ever elevated Abraham. He was trying to show Abraham how to stand in the gap between the people. Amen. I firmly believe, of course, it's not the will of God, amen, that people receive the judgment of God. It's the will of God that every man be saved. Amen, and come to the newness of life and have the revelation, amen, that we have in this house today, amen, but that standing in the gap and that intercessor bridging that gap in place is the refusal of saying no. And so God needed Abraham to realize his calling and his responsibility. He needed Abraham to realize that Abraham, it's not about just the promise that you have, Abraham, but it's about you sharing this promise, amen, to everybody else. Amen. New Life, I never want to get to the place, amen, that living for God is so good and fine and dandy for me, amen, that I forget, amen, that it's about everybody else getting a hold of the same promise that I got. I don't want to forget, amen, the same message that saved my life is the same message, amen, that I need to it's the same message I have to go out into the world. Begin to preach and teach. Hallelujah. I want to provoke somebody to good works tonight. Hallelujah. I want to provoke you to good works tonight. Because if anything that we should be rejoicing about and we should be thankful about and it should resonate in our spirit is when we begin to talk about our prayer closet. If there's anything that should resonate in our spirit and begin to settle inside of our heart, because there should be something that resonates in our spirit because it's a familiar place that we visit often. It's not a place that we just simply talk about. It's not a place that we just simply philosophize about, but it's a place that we visit daily. Hey man, I'm telling you what I'm preaching to you tonight, New Life. I'm not just trying to come and preach something to you, hey man, just to tickle your ears tonight, but I'm preaching something to you that is a part of the backbone of the church. Amen, that when the people of God, amen, get in that secret place in the Holy Ghost and they begin to pull things down in the heavenlies. I'm telling you tonight, I love all the good things, amen, that we can grab a hold of. All of the good resources, all of the good books, all of the good education. Amen, I went to Bible college. Amen, I enjoyed my time there. But more than anything, I never want to forget how it is to get in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I never want to forget what it's like to get a hold of God in my prayer room and get the Holy Ghost until I'm no longer checking my phone, until I'm no longer checking Instagram, until I'm no longer checking Facebook. Amen. Because there's something inside of me that's alive. Anybody believe what I'm preaching tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. There has to be something that awakens and quickens our spirit. There has to be something that in the middle of the night when God begins to awaken us, that we begin to let our heart throb and let our heart pulse and let our heart beat, because God's trying to talk to us about the kingdom. God's trying to talk to us about our neighbor. God's trying to talk to us about our coworker. God's trying to talk to us about that person, amen, that's been coming to the church. Amen, I'm telling you, there has to be a revival of spirit-led devotion. There has to be a revival, amen, of spiritual consecration. Amen, that we learn how to walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. It's not just, well, I look right on the outside. I got my suit on today and I got my tie. And ladies, you got your dress and look just right and look apostolic on the outside. No, it's not all about that. That's a part of it. But what's living inside of us, it has to beat. What's living inside of us has to begin to throb. What's living inside of us has to learn how to begin to connect. And sometimes, just to go ahead and leave this world for just a moment and begin to get captivated in God's presence until we lose track of time and we don't know how long that we've been in our prayer room. Hey man, can I tell you today, it's not the will of God for you to only speak in tongues on Sunday and on Wednesday, but it's the will of God, hey man, young ladies, that you speak in the Holy Ghost every day that you arise. Hey man, hallelujah. God has not called us, hey man, just to be statues and just to be cute little figures, but God has called us to be alive inside, full of His Spirit, full of His anointing, full of His power. Hallelujah. I'm afraid it's too easy at times to simply just play the part, but not have the power living inside. It's easy sometimes. Hey man, I'm just gonna preach how I feel today. It's easy sometimes to be able to just be able to play the part on the outside. Hey man, but not have the power living on the inside. Hey man, can I talk to some young people for just a moment? Hey man, it's not just about what it looks like and what the image that we try to build up to everybody else around us. But ultimately, it matters what God is looking at on the inside of us. Because God's not looking at us to be dead man's bones, but God's looking at us to have His Spirit alive and working and quickening, amen, in us. Amen, because if we have not the Spirit, we are none of His. Amen, I don't believe, amen, that the church should be powerless. I don't believe that young people should be powerless young people, but I think the saints of God, that same anointing that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, amen, where there was miracles, signs, and wonders, and there was great and mighty things they begin to talk about, that same power, amen, that was in the book of Acts, should be the same power that's resting on young marriage. It should be the same power that's resting on young people. It should be the same power that same power and same anointing. I don't know about you, but there's something that burns in my spirit that I do not want to settle for less than. I want to grab a hold of everything that God wants me to have. I want to grab a hold of every promise of Abraham, every promise that God spoke to our forefathers, every word that was spoken. I want it to be mine. I want to be able to possess it. I want to take ownership. It's an old famous message. Don't dance on altars you didn't build. There's something in us that we have to quicken, that I'm going to get it for myself. I'm going to get it for myself. I'm not going to just observe from a distance and see just what leadership does and see what anointing that leadership has and see how people walk in these giftings and callings and all of these things. But no, I'm not going to simply just observe. Hey man, but I'm going to get engaged in it. Because if God can do it for them, then why can't God do it for me? If God can lay His hand upon them and use them, and the offices may be different, but what would happen if you just allowed the anointing of God to start getting a hold of you? What would happen if the burden and load wasn't just on a select group of people, and that burden and anointing begin to be picked up by other people that have never carried a burden before and never carried and built altars themselves, but got to a place that said, I'm going to learn how, amen, to build altars for myself. I'm not going to depend on the worship, amen, or the devotion of my pastor, amen, or my youth pastor, or whoever it may be, amen, but I'm going to go get it for myself, amen, because the Bible distinctly shows me and tells me how, amen, that I can get a hold of God. Amen, if Abraham, amen, dug wells, amen, Isaac understood the importance, amen, of digging some wells, amen, that were dug before, amen, and he knew that he had to grab a hold, and it wasn't just enough to look at the wells, amen, that Abraham had as they begin to be clogged up in a generation past, amen, but there was something in the next generation that said, I'm going to get it for myself, amen. What I've come to provoke you tonight, amen, is to an understanding. We need the church, amen, to stand up and not be casual, not be complacent, amen, not be lethargic, amen, but to be moved by the Spirit that says, God, in this end time hour, I'm ready for what you're trying to do. God, raise us up for the purpose and calling. Raise us up, God, for the purpose and calling. The Bible gives a contrast, amen, of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is sitting at the table, and Martha, she's busy about, she's making the table ready, and she's cleaning up the house, and she's the Bible says she's busy about much serving. She's occupied. She's occupied doing things. She's anxious. She's troubled about it. She's caught up with it. And Martha begins to look around and sees her Mary, her sister. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's like, hey, what? Jesus, don't you see Martha? What? Don't you see Mary? Why is she not helping me serving? Jesus begins to say something that resonates so much in my spirit. He begins to say, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled and careful about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part. Mary, in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of all of the going about, Mary did not forget what it was all about. Mary chose the good part to sit at the feet of Jesus, begin to entertain the presence of God. Begin to entertain God's presence just for a while. I'm telling you, sometimes I think it's easy for us to replace what it's all about. It's easy to come to church, amen, and to forget about the good part. It's easy to forget about getting in the presence of God until something shifts and changes. That my greatest responsibility and my greatest calling is not for me to stand behind a pulpit and preach, but my greatest calling and responsibility is to begin to stand in the gap as I walk with the Lord in between the world and the judgment of God. The greatest responsibility, the greatest ministry that you and I could have is getting in that place of choosing the good part. What I've come to preach to you tonight has become something that I simply just wanted to communicate, that we have to revive ourselves in intercession. We have to revive ourselves. The musicians can begin to come. We have to revive ourselves, the passion and the heartbeat of God. I tell you what, prayer should move us. Getting in the presence of God should move us. Does anybody believe that tonight? Getting in the Holy Ghost should move us. We got to choose the good part. We have to bargain with God. Says God, the promise you said before is the same promise today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's some people in the house. You don't need to take no for an answer today. You don't need to settle and just say, well, this is how it'll always be. But there needs to be something that arises in you that you go ahead and say, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop beating this hammer in prayer, because sometimes there's moments that we begin to pray that we don't feel anything from God, and we don't feel the goosebumps, and we don't feel all of the things that begin to flow down our neck. But there's sometimes and there's some days that prayer is just beaten. Just hammering. It seems like I'm not getting anywhere today, but I'm telling you, if I'll just keep on hammering, if I'll just keep on pressing, if I'll just keep on going deeper, if I'll just keep on praying, if I'll keep on fasting. I know the wall seems so great and so high now, but I'm telling you, if you'll just keep on pressing, if you'll just keep on going forward and say, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop trusting the Lord. I'm not going to stop. The easy thing is to sit back and just say, man, I guess this is the cards that God dealt me. I guess I'm just going to settle for how bleak it is and how dark it is, and I'm just going to settle for what I'm going through right now. It's easy to say that. But I wonder if there's some people that still believe in the power of getting a hold of God and pulling down things. Things that people said, no, we would never be able to get a hold of and grab. We just begin to get in that place and just begin to pull it down. And pray as Jesus began to tell his disciples, I want you to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because though I don't see it right now, maybe I'm not going to stop. I don't see everything that God wants to do in my family right now, but I'm not going to stop praying. We haven't seen everything that we wanted God to do in this church yet, but I'm not going to stop praying. We haven't seen all the daughter works that we want to start, and I'm not going to stop praying. We haven't seen the miracles that we've been praying about for a long time. But baby, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop fasting. I'm telling you, new life. I've come to preach and revive your heart and your spirit. Amen. For revival. Amen. Of prayer and a fight in your spirit that says, I'm not laying down. I'm not laying down and allowing the adversary to trample over my faith and to step on my faith, but I'm going to allow my faith to arise. No, I'm not taking no for an answer any longer, God.
Oh, I need you to move, God. I'm telling you, new life, your answer is your prayer closet. Your answer is the secret place. Your answer is you getting along with God and saying, God, I refuse no. All across this house right now, I want you to close your eyes and lift up your voice. Come on, young ladies, I don't want you looking around right now. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Young men, come on, close your eyes. I want you to begin to pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, front to back right now, side to side. Come on, I want you to pray right now in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I don't want you to worry about who's next to you or who's looking at you right now. Hey man, I want you to go ahead and get in the Holy Ghost and begin to allow the power of God to begin to flow down on you from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Come on, young person. It's time to awaken a prayer life. It's time to awaken a prayer life with God. It's time to build an altar. It's time to consecrate to God. Come on, I don't want you to pray passively right now. I want you to pray fervently right now. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hey man, I want to know if there's some intercessors in the house today. Hey man, that are interceding on the behalf of someone else. Come on, I wonder if there's some people that know how to get a hold of God right now. Let that stir up in your spirit right now. Come on, let that stir up in your heart right now. Come on, let that stir up in your spirit right now. Let that stir in your heart right now. Come on, that's it. Let that be your prayer right now. Let that be your petition right now. Come on, go to that place of the Holy Ghost right now.